Rather than talk generally about Mel Baba, I thought that I would speak a little bit about his silence. So many things have been said about the breaking of Baba's silence, and so much attention has been given to the effect that this will have, that I at times feel we lose sight of the ability of Baba's silence to communicate in simple and practical ways. Whatever Baba said about the breaking of his silence will surely come to pass, as he has planned it, in his own way and in his own time. Our idle speculations will not affect this in the least. So instead of speaking on this aspect of Mel Baba's silence, I would like to share with you my experience of it through my years of close association with Baba and in the very active part that I have found it to play in our relationship with him. When we had Baba before us, his silence, the fact that he was physically silent, was never a major issue, and our attention was never strongly drawn towards it. Baba's presence was all-absorbing, and all attempts to try and interpret Baba or his actions would quickly disappear in the warmth of his personality and in our desire to be with him as much as we possibly could. Instead of detracting from Baba's presence or making us aware that there was a difficult communication gap between us, Baba's silence greatly enlivened and added to his presence, animating all he expressed. Stories gracefully unfolded through Baba's gestures, capturing their full import as if they were happening before us. During pauses in the stream of communication, we were for a moment able to capture glimpses of the ocean of divinity that Baba was drawing his expressions from. Against the background of this, Baba's gestures carried even greater meaning, as they were coming from the limitless source of his absolute state. When Baba discarded his alphabet board in the early 50s, he didn't replace it with a pre-arranged set of gestures that had been carefully thought out and developed in advance. Instead, his gestures were formed and took on meaning as the need arrived. They never fell into a definitely set pattern, but they continued to develop throughout the many years of his silence and were always spontaneous and creative. Baba frequently spoke of his silence as a protest against the abuse of his words in the past. His silence was undertaken in part, he explained, to see that this does not happen again. The words he did not speak, he assured us, will become the living precepts of men's daily lives. In short, Baba's silence was a binding he took upon himself to help to free us by making it possible for us to act and love him in ways that will please him and win his grace. Baba's silence was so natural that we were seldom conscious of it. What would seem to be something very awkward was in no way a deterrent to Baba and the wide range of activities he carried out. Despite his silence, Baba was able to carry out an amazingly wide range of activities and communicate equally well with lovers from all parts of the world, touching the hearts of each one. In light of all this activity, Baba's silence served to underscore the naturalness, ease and grace that surrounded him and all he says. Baba's silence has taken on new meaning in the short time since he has dropped his body. The awakening to Baba that we have seen in these years among so many who never even met him emphasizes that Mel Baba, as our master, continues to communicate with us and touch the hearts of his lovers, imparting to them a deep, seemingly intuitive understanding of his ways. This very active nature of Baba's silence is probably best captured in these few short words. Things that are real are given and received in silence. Jai Baba. I would like to give you one instance which I had witnessed during my stay with Baba earlier. One managing director of a big bank was in trouble. Indian bank, I'm sorry. And there were competitions from other banks, so that he was prosecuted for some actions of his, and the case was going on in Privy Council. In those days, British days, the highest authority was the Privy Council in England. And there was another case against him in the Bombay High Court also. So, you know Mansari, many of you. His uncle, Mr. S.M. Soma Desai, was a great man, learned man, and this bank managing director was his friend. So Mr. Desai asked him that, why you are worrying unnecessarily? Come on, let us go to Meher Baba. Both of them come to Mehrabad when I was also present. Generally, Baba gives interviews, then one or two of us are always there to interpret him. But this gentleman did not want to discuss his affairs before anybody. So Baba asked us all to keep away, and he and Baba alone sat. And he came out happily. How Baba conveyed to him his thoughts? That came out happily. Actually, his case in the Privy Council was dismissed, and the case in the High Court was just on technical grounds, he was made to sit till the court rules. Now my purpose in quoting this instance is I had witnessed, and how Baba could talk to him, a stranger who had never met Baba before.